The reading is from John 20, verses 19 through 29. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails on my side, in hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe."
Good morning to everybody. Some of you look pretty good this morning. I wasn't talking to you. If I haven't met you yet, I apologize for that, and I also apologize that I'm the pastor here. My name is Trevor. I just want to welcome you to Neighbors Church. And above everything else, I hope that you feel welcomed here. I hope you feel comfortable. I hope you feel loved. And I hope you feel just great, is what I'm hoping for. This, you know, can I be honest with you? I'm not talking to you anymore. Easter, right now, I know a lot of clergy right now. And this Holy Week is a nerve-wracking experience for many of them. They are high pressure. There is, everyone's taking antacids, all kinds of stuff, you know, because the pressure of Easter morning, they feel like they just have to get it perfect. You know, this is the one Sunday out of all Sundays that they actually have to try to impress, you know, and a lot of churches just break out everything. They spend half their budget on this day. You know, they bring in all the stuff and all the stops, and they do films and special effects, and they have smoke machines and all this kind of stuff, and they're rocking bands, and they have a choir and everything like that. Elvis comes back, you know, I mean, just everything that you could possibly do to make this day special is what they're in, and they're scared to death because they're worried that this is not, you know, if they just want to pull it off. I remember, before I was a pastor, I went to a church, and they were all planning it, and it took them about 6 months, and they hired somebody to make, this is what they were going to do, a tomb. They wanted to make a tomb, and they wanted to put it on the stage, and they had it lit, you know, to where you could, if you opened it up, the idea was to put a light in there, and at the right time in the sermon, because it was all written out and scripted, but at the right time when he would say Jesus is raised and all that, because the light would shine and everything, and everybody would be just have this awe experience, and the choir would sing, and people would just be like this, you know, and flowers would fall from the sky and everything like that. And the day came, and the guy brought in the tomb, and it was about this big. He got the, something was confused and wrong, and it was just, I mean, I'm not sure if the Easter Bunny could have made it inside this thing. And they just thought that the whole Sunday was just, it was a disaster and it was ruined. I like that, Neighbors, we don't, if you're here on this Sunday, you're going to see something that's pretty much like every other Sunday. We don't do a whole lot of special effects and things like that, you know. The other side of Easter is, I mean, sometimes it can be chaotic. I remember I used to be in radio, and we had this massive Easter egg hunt, and it was massive. I mean, we had advertised it and everything. We went to, I think it was Holmes Lake, and had the whole field there, you know, and we put out all these eggs, and we had this kind of trailer that we were in, and we were so thankful for that because we were scared, because, I mean, it was just an army of parents and their children, and we had this countdown. You know, all the eggs were just spread out, and we counted it down, and as soon as we said go, the parents just went nuts. The kids were fine. You know, they didn't even know why they were there. But parents were lifting their kids like they were lifting luggage and they were late for a flight. You know, they were knocking into each other. People were taking their kids and knocking other kids down and just getting these, you know. And it was just a nightmare. We hid. You know what I mean? We just hid. Take that and the high praise and all that kind of stuff, and then the chaos. And that's kind of what I think the first Easter was probably like. We always like to put it in, when we see it in the movies, we see, you know, the orchestra start and everything, and Jesus appears, and then the show kind of ends there, you know? It's kind of a happy time and everything like that. Well, I'm kind of a history guy. You know, I like to, especially when I'm looking at scripture and stuff, I like to really delve into the history of it. And I like to look at, even if it was Easter, I like to look at what was the first Easter truly, truly like. It starts out with Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, who's kind of gotten a bad rap over the years. She's been tagged as a prostitute. Well, that wasn't true. She was not a prostitute at all. She is the first person to see the risen Christ. She's the first person to witness. And she comes to the tomb ready to see a body. She takes all the stuff to anoint the body. That's what they were going to do. Sun was coming up. It was time to anoint that body. She sees that the tomb has been opened, and she's worried, and she's scared, and she turns to somebody, and she says, you have taken him away. Show me where he is at, and I will go get him. I love the courage of Mary, by the way, because not only was she the first one to see it, but she was ready to go get them. She thought that the body had been stolen, and she was ready to go make it right, even if she had to go by herself. She just said, tell me where it's at, I will go get him. That's the courage of it. But she turns around and she finds out that the person that she is talking to is Christ. And Christ says, Mary, don't be afraid. Go and tell the other disciples that I have risen. And so she goes and she's going there, and Peter and John start to run to the tomb. And John goes to the tomb and he goes to the opening, but he stops short. The reason he stops short is because he's Jewish. And Jewish people, that body is unclean. So he stops short of going into it. Peter, on the other hand, is a dunderhead, and he just keeps running right through and just goes barreling right in, and they see that the tomb is empty. They're confused. They don't know why it's empty. They haven't figured it out yet. In the meantime, Mary has gone back to the other disciples where they are all staying. They are staying in a undisclosed location because they're frightened. They're very, very afraid right now because that last thing that they know is that their Lord, the person that they had followed for 3 years, has been killed. And they're worried that the religious leaders are going to come after them. They are literally fearful of their lives. And so they are hidden in this room. Mary comes busting through the door and says, hey, I saw him. They don't believe her. They think that she's been hitting the sauce too early in the morning or something. They think that something's happened because she's had like a weird thing, or she's wishful thinking, but they don't think that Jesus is raised from the dead. This is how the first Easter starts. One witness, two confused, the rest not believing. We always think of Thomas. We give Thomas the bad rap of doubting Thomas and all of that kind of stuff. This is a whole room of people that are frightened, and they're scared, and they're not believing right now. And the funny thing is that this happened when Mary first saw Jesus. This happened in the morning, first thing in the morning. Sun just coming up is when Mary had headed to that tomb. They sat there in this hidden location, doors locked, fearful of their lives for the entire day. Jesus does not appear to them until the evening, sun going down. Have you ever had a day where you've just been filled with anxiety and worry? You know how long that day goes? You just try to pass the time. You don't know what to do, and you're just scared. They didn't have TV to pass the time. There's no Scrabble board, no Twister, no Monopoly. They just sat there. And you can almost imagine it. Here's Mary that has actually seen Jesus, seen him, and is told to tell these guys, and they're not believing her. How would she feel? She's frustrated. She's angry. These are the people that she has spent 3 years with, and they are not believing her. The two, Peter and John, are just wondering where that body is and why was it gone. They're replaying all of the things that Jesus has said over the last 3 years. They're wondering, what is the story here? Has he been stolen? Is he alive? Is Mary right? We don't know. And they're afraid. Let's not forget this. They are afraid. They are terrified. There had been messiahs, people that had called themselves Messiah before Jesus. They had started movements. They had disciples, and Rome would take them out. And they thought the same thing was going to happen to them. And so they're not opening the door for anybody. Imagine what that was like, an entire day of sitting there with confusion, with questions, with wondering, with anger, with grief, with fear. They came in. I can only imagine what the conversations were like. One's accusing them of not believing them. The other one's saying that she's crazy. The other one is angry because they think that the body's been stolen. The rest of them are just confused. They want to believe. They want to know that something's happened, that the last 3 years has not been in vain, but they're just sitting there wondering. And it's like time is just ticking away. They're jumping at every sound that they hear because they're worried that it's the soldiers that are coming to get them. That's what the first Easter was. We think the first Easter is supposed to be so perfect. We think it's supposed to be, you know, this where we all dress up, you know, and we put on our scratchy pants and we come into church and we try to behave ourselves. We try to put a smile on our face no matter what we're actually feeling, because this is the day that the Lord has made, right? I don't have to worry about all the things that have been troubling me all the week and everything like that because Christ is risen. This is why I don't sing. It wasn't that way at all. The first Christian church, this is what it's all based on. This is what our whole faith is based on. We would not have this church if it wasn't for the risen Christ. But that first Easter Sunday was a mess. It was people running around trying to understand what they felt. It was people going over what they had learned for the last 3 years. It had been people that had been struggling for that day. It had been people that had witnessed Christ and other people that didn't know if Christ had lived or not. It had been a place where people came in as they were and sat there together. But the one thing that they knew, the one thing that they had, was each other. The one thing that is such a special thing about this is that when Christ was on that cross, they did not disband. They came to this room together. And together, they relied on each other. If you ever heard of soldiers in the war, it's almost like their foxhole moment. They're fearful of their lives. They're confused. They don't know what's going on, but they have each other. Even if they're arguing, even if they're just not believing or believing, they have each other. And they know that at this point in time, that's it. That's all they have. And they sit there with each other for the entire day, wondering, exploring, questioning. They're curious. They are vocal about their their anger, their confusion, their faith. But they share it together for the entire day. And that's when Jesus comes in. Door's locked, but he comes in. And the first thing he says to this group that has just had a mess of a day is, "Peace be with you." The one thing that is on Christ's mind is, "Peace be with you." Now see, to me, this is church. This is what church is all about. This should be our shining example of what church is. We have people leaving the church right now because the church is telling them that they have to fit into this certain mold or be this certain person or act a certain way or wear a certain tie or vote for a certain person. The first church was a mess, but it was honest. It was raw. It was people coming in with questions. It was people coming in with thoughts. It was people coming in with just an honest self. And that is when Christ appears. We love to point out Doubting Thomas. He was called the twin. A lot of people think that he was called the twin because they actually think that he looked like Jesus. So in joking, they called him the twin. He doesn't get to see Jesus for another week. The disciples have the end of the day where they have seen Christ. Thomas gets to go the entire week not seeing anything. But he's still, in his disbelief, he is still hanging out with the people because he knows that he's welcome there. He knows that he's a part of this family. Because that's what it is. This is a family. A family of dunderheads, buffoons, idiots. It was a family of people. I'm not calling all of you dunderheads, buffoons, and idiots. I'm calling some of you dunderheads, buffoons, and idiots. But this is who we are. We are raw. We come from different stories. There are people here today that have had the best week of their life, and there are people here today that have had a week filled with challenges. There are people here today that come in to believe in the love of Christ, and there are people still trying to figure it out, but they're here. There are people with questions. There are people that have experienced Christ, and there are others wondering why they never have. And we're all here because this is a church, very much like the church that first Easter. We gather here as ourselves. There's no dress code. There's no class system here. We all come from different stories, different backgrounds. We come from different jobs. We come from different challenges. We have different levels of our faith and belief. And we come here to try to support each other, to try to figure it out, to try to strive for peace. And in our questions, in our sharing, in our honesty, Christ is with us. Christ is there breathing the Holy Spirit on us. And Christ is saying to all of us, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Wherever you come from today, whether this is a church that you've come to for years, whether this is your first day, whether this is your first church experience, whether you are here because you want to be or here because you feel like you have to be, you are welcome here because this is the church of Christ. And the church of Christ, it looks like this. And this is where we celebrate the love of Christ who said, "Peace be with you." Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we come in sometimes with feeling like we have all the answers, and sometimes we come in feeling like we have all the questions. Sometimes we feel perfect, and sometimes we feel far from it. Sometimes we try to put our best foot forward, and then we fall flat on our face. Help us to remind each other that we're here for each other, that this gathering matters because of you. We may not have all the answers, but help us in our journey. Help us to know that you're there. Fill this room with the Holy Spirit and help us to love you, to love ourselves, and to love our neighbor. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.